In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Get a life is a popular expression in our day and age. People say this to others for a variety of reasons, but mostly when they believe that the people to whom they say it are either living in a shell or are so consumed with one thing that they're missing out on so much more. Get a life. All you do is sit around and watch TV. Get a life. All you care about is that one thing. There's more to life than that. Get a life. What you're doing is boring. You need some spice, some entertainment, some excitement, some adventure in your existence. Go get a life. Of course, there's another way people use get a life. They use it in a derogatory sense as a slam against someone with whom they're in conflict. So-and-so just needs to go and get a life. Get a life. It's a versatile and often meaningless exhortation thrown about in our secular world today. But, understood correctly, get a life is actually a very good slogan for us to adopt on the threshold of Lent. You see, get a life is the call of the church to all people. It's a recognition of the fact that we can be alive and breathing and still not be living. Not living life like God wants us to live. But when the church calls out to us, get a life, she doesn't just mean any life. She means the life of Christ. Here's life that's real life. To miss out on this life, not to have this life as your own, is to miss out on the reason you were created. So the church cries out to us, get a life. But today's gospel lesson sounds more like lose a life, doesn't it? Jesus says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Get a life. Jesus speaks about suffering, torture, death, and then, finally, vindication. He speaks of a new life which comes only through suffering and death. That kind of a life which springs forth from death, doesn't make sense to our sinful human reason. It certainly didn't make sense to the 12 apostles. They understood none of these things, we're told. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. This saying was hidden from them because they were still thinking in the way of the sinful world, which does not, never has, and never will understand Christianity. When the sinful world says, get a life, it is referring to this earthly life, which it believes is all that exists. Eat, drink, and be merry is the cry of the sinful world. Live it up. Enjoy yourselves. Find what makes you happy and stick to it. That's why the self-help industry is a multi-billion dollar industry in our day and age. People want to know how they can get the most out of their lives. And out of the sinful world arises many so-called experts to show them how. For a small fee, of course. But it is not just the sinful world which does not understand Christianity. Many false teachers who masquerade as Christian preachers today preach the world's philosophy and pass it off as Christianity. They preach a prosperity gospel, which is nothing more than the world's self-help philosophy wrapped up in the guise of Christian terminology. If you'll do your part, they say, God will do His part. In their sinister scheme, God becomes a heavenly ATM machine ready to dispense blessings of health, wealth, and prosperity to those who follow the steps laid out by these false teachers. Where does Jesus fit in? He doesn't. He's not really necessary in the New Age Christianity which dominates the scene today. For it's not about Jesus, it's about you. You need to find purpose in your life. You need to learn how to live your best life now and become a better you. And here's the key. You can do it. You have the potential. You just need to learn how to tap into it. If you'll just follow their advice, you can learn how to get a life, a truly Christian life, which of course is full of happiness and success. But compare this to what our Lord teaches us. It is necessary that I suffer and die on the cross, He says, for only through my death can you get life. And after He tells His disciples what He must do in Jerusalem to bring life into the world, He shows them how this life will be dispensed. A blind man hears from the crowds that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by and he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This is his chance to get a life, and he knows it. The people in front of him try to hush him up, but he will not be silenced. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he cries out all the more. Hearing his cry for mercy, Jesus has the blind man brought to him. "What do you want me to do for you?" he says. "Lord, let me recover my sight." And what did Jesus say to him in response? Did he say, "First you must show yourself worthy to receive my healing. You must do your part before I do mine. Here are 7 steps. Follow them and you'll get your healing in the end." Did he say, "You have the ability within yourself to heal yourself. Just believe that you can do it and your healing will happen"? No. This is not the Jesus of New Age Christianity. This is the real Jesus. And the real Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." Literally, your faith has saved you. And immediately the blind man recovered his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. This is pure gospel, pure grace, pure mercy. Jesus' healing of this poor, miserable sinner is the living embodiment of the love Paul speaks of in the epistle text. Pure divine love doesn't demand a thing from this blind man, but rather gives with no strings attached. Faith, hope, and love abide, St. Paul says, but the greatest of these is love. He is speaking of the pure divine love of the Father who sent His Son into the world to live, die, and rise again for undeserving sinners like you and me, that we might, through faith in Him, get a life, His life, a life which never ends. This is how you get real life, eternal life, life the way God intended you to have it. It is given to you as pure gift. You can't earn it. You can't take hold of it through the power of positive thinking. There are no 5, 6, or 7-step programs you can follow to get this life. It is not a you do your part and God will do His part cooperative program. On the contrary, this life is given only to those who realize how incapable they are to earn it themselves. It is available to all people, for Jesus Christ died for the sin of the whole world. But it is only dispensed to those who are brought to the realization through God's law that they are poor, miserable sinners who desperately need the salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ. They are those who, like the blind man, are driven to their knees and cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The good news, the pure gospel, is that all those who cry out for the mercy of the Son of David shall have it immediately. Dear friends in Christ, the Church cries out to you, her children, as you enter the holy and penitential season of Lent, get a life. She calls for you to examine yourselves and to see your sinfulness so that you would, like the blind man, cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." She calls for you to return to the Lord, to turn to Jesus in repentance and faith, so that He might open your eyes to see that He goes up to Jerusalem for you, to suffer and die in your place, and to rise from the tomb to give you access to eternal life in His kingdom, which has no end. That, my friends, is the pure gospel of true Christianity. Thank God it is not like the world's philosophy. Thank God it is not what is heard coming out of the mouths of many popular false teachers today. Thank God that it is pure gospel, pure grace, pure mercy. For if it wasn't, if it was up to us to do our part, and God, before God would do His, we would all be doomed. Get a life. Trust in Jesus Christ alone and follow Him on His Lenten journey to the cross. Follow Him, glorifying God, up the road to His city, and see what His divine love for you will accomplish there. Even now, to prepare you for the journey which lies ahead, He is here in His holy house to give you life, true life, through His holy word and most blessed sacrament. Come to His table and receive His very body and blood through which He unites Himself to you that His life might course through your very veins. Here at the altar is where you get real life, eternal life, the life of Christ, your Savior. Receive it as the pure gift that it is for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Receive it and follow Him, glorifying God throughout Lent and Easter and always, until you breathe your last and finally enter into the life God intended you to have in the paradise of His eternal kingdom. In Jesus' holy and precious name, Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.